Travis getting us a new battery. It's good to see everybody this morning. I didn't have a title last week, if y'all remember what we talked about. I think, Beth, didn't you put that more fruit, more power, or something like that? I think so. But anyway, this morning the title is God's Looking for Fruit. We know what happens when Jesus comes looking for fruit, don't we? If he don't find none? He cursed the fig tree because it had no fruit, remember? Now, we're going to go over maybe a couple of scriptures that we did last time. I'm really not sure, but anyway, let's look at Luke 18 if you got your Bible. If you don't, Beth will have it on the screen for us. Plus, I've got this in the Amplified, and some people might not have the Amplified Bible, but she'll put it up there. Verse 1, it says, "Also Jesus told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not to turn coward." We went over that. Y'all remember that? How that's in the same place that God looks at it as the murderers and adulterers and all that. He don't like that. It says, "Faint, lose heart, and give up." He said, "In a certain city there was a judge who neither reverenced and feared God, nor respected or considered man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, 'Protect and defend and give me justice against my adversary.' And for a little while he would not, but later he said to himself, 'Though I have neither reverence or fear for God, nor respect or consideration for man, yet because this widow continues to bother me, I will defend and protect and avenge her, lest she give me intolerable annoyance and wear me out by her continual coming, or at the last she come and rail on me or assault me or strangle me.' Then the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not our just God defend and protect and avenge his elect, his chosen ones, who cry to him day and night? Will he defer them and delay help on their behalf? No, we know he will not. I tell you, he will defend and protect and avenge them speedily.'" And notice what he says here. "However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find persistence in faith on the earth?" Faith is a fruit of the Spirit, so you can't say you don't have it. You can't be born again without it. The Bible says you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth if you're going to be born again, right? So faith, if you've been born again, you already have it. But how many knows James says if you don't use it, if you don't release it, turn it loose, it's dead. Our faith has to be a living faith, right? Let's go on here with our next one. So there he says, when he comes, will he really find persistent faith on the earth? That tells me faith is in its being released when it's living is precious to God. And he ain't going to find it everywhere that you think you would find it. Amen? So Hebrews 11:6. Let's look at that right quick. Sorry. I'm talking to Scotty, in case y'all didn't know. We got this little thing going on this morning. I'm first and he's last. And he don't like it. That's too bad because I didn't put me here. Now I'm going to read this in the King James. It said, now remember, we just got through reading, when he comes, and we know he's coming, he says, will he really find persistent faith on the earth? Verse 6. It says, but without faith, now before this, he's talking about Enoch and all of them that did what they did by faith, inspired by faith. Verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible. Not you might not. Notice that. Impossible to please him. He's talking about God. Don't you want to please God? Ain't that what we're in this thing, the whole thing is supposed to be about? Then if you're not using your faith, taking every opportunity to use your faith, you're not pleasing him. He says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now let's look at Romans 1. Just laying a little groundwork here before we really get started. All these is probably very familiar scriptures. But how many knows, according to James 1:22, it's not the familiar scripture, right? It's the doing of what you hear. that gets the results. Because if not, then you deceive yourself. You make a, have a bag of excuses, and you deceive yourself into thinking, well, I'm doing that, but you're really not. Because what deception is, you believe it's the truth, but it's absolute lie. Here in verse 17, I don't got how I was going to read that. I guess I'll just read it in Amplified. It says, for in the gospel, a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed through the way of faith that arouses to more faith, as it is written, the man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. What's that mean? Means every day, all day long. You don't just use faith when you need a car. You use faith to believe the scriptures. The Bible says he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He will be with you always, even unto the end. How many knows you got the devil, you got people, and you got your own flesh that sometimes it feels like God's not there? But the just do what? They live by faith. They live by believing what he's promised and what he said. Amen? All the time. That's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week thing. All the time. But some people think it's just to use your faith to get a car, just believe God to be healed or something. But no, we live by that. Jesus himself said that man shall not live by bread alone, but what? By every word that comes out of the mouth of God shall man live. Now, I don't think I'll read those from Proverbs, Beth. I'll just quote it. We read the one last week, Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9 verse 10 through 11 talks about how the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. It's the chief and choice part of wisdom, and to come to the knowledge of the Holy One, which is insight and understanding. How many knows if you're not reverencing God? What I mean, y'all know what I mean by reverence, right? It means respect, to honor, he says. We talked about that a little bit last week. You're not going to see right. The Bible says a man's way is right in his own eyes, but what? The end thereof is destruction. You can think you're right, you can think you're seeing right, but according to Scripture, that's the beginning of wisdom, and to know the Holy One is knowledge, right? So I cannot be seeing right if I'm not reverencing and respecting God and honoring Him. So we want to make sure we do that, because He comes wherever He's honored, right, and He's respected. Matthew 13. We talked a little bit about that last week, about the hats and everything. And some people would say, that's just religion. Well, you could take anything and make a religion out of it. Anything. But how many knows there's some things that if you are respecting and honoring the Lord, we do them. Not out of religion, but out of respect. Just like I've been telling the kids here lately, you know, because they get this thing about when I give them their food, you know, I say, y'all say you bless them. Well, one tries to say it faster and louder than the other one. And the other day I went in there and I said, hey, I said, well, we don't do that. I said, when we talk to God with respect. And we talk to Him with honor and we give Him thanks. How many knows that you can get into a ritual of just saying your blessing? To where you just motion through the words, they're coming out of your mouth, there's nothing in your heart about it whatsoever. How many knows that's not good? Everything that I say and that I do toward Him should have meaning in it for me. So therefore, I'm going to have to be mindful and I'm going to have to be conscious, right? Because Jesus said at one place, He said, they honor me with their, God said through to Him, through Jesus, that they honor me with their lips, but it's their heart that's far from me. So what I do, I need to do everything from my heart, not because of a religion or because somebody said it or whatever, but if I really honor God in my heart, then my lifestyle, the things that I do, the things that I don't do. Do you understand the fear of the Lord will keep you from doing and not doing a lot of things? Absolutely. David himself, he said, Lord, have I hid your word in my heart that I might not sin against you? Now, what I tell y'all, Matthew? Okay, let me get over there. Matthew 13, just one verse. I'm going to read this in the Amplified. Verse 44. Now, I brought this scripture up last week, but this scripture keeps coming to me for, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks now. It says, the kingdom of heaven is like something precious, buried in a field which a man found and hid again. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has, and he buys that field. Now, I told you last week the story about when me and Scotty was dating and he went to Florida, you know, and I told you the picture from the bathroom to the bedroom, taking a bath and shower and all of that kind of stuff. And it was, now I always feared my mama. I'm telling you, she could be something else back in the, she's a sweet one now, but back in the day, you don't want to be sneaking out the house, you don't want to be doing nothing, I'm telling you. But when I met Scotty, that was the end of that. Because my love for him overrode any fear I had of my mama, any fear I had of the law, any fear I had of going to juvenile, anything else. The love that I had for him overrode anything and everything else. Do you understand that's the first number one thing when you look up the fruit of the Spirit? It's love. Reckon why that is. Because wherever your treasure is, right? Whatever that treasure is or wherever it is, that's where your heart is going to be. And for me, when I was dating him, and I mean, I still love him, not like that, but I love him, you know. I mean, we sucked each other's air quite a few years, and sometimes it's not good. I don't you just love it in the movies? I know I'm getting off track, but in the movies now, they're in the bed and they wake up and, oh, they're just breathing all over each other. And I'm like, that's not real. Now, that's just not real. I don't think there was a Mentos on the nightstand. But anyway, to give you a proper picture of what starts happening. But anyway, it's your love for God. That's what he's talking about here. That treasure that he found in that field was so precious to him, he gave up everything he had, and it gave him joy to do so. Right? Ain't that what we just read? The treasure that he found in that field. He went and sold all he had. Then he bought the field, and it says the joy that was in him. Do you understand? Our loving God brings us joy. And God doesn't mean the fruit that we're supposed to be bearing and the things that we go through and all of that. How many knows we're supposed to be having joy and peace through all of it? So let's look here at, well, I told you last week, we read the scripture, I'll just quote it today. According to 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 30, God says, those that honor me, I will honor. Those that lightly esteem me, that means think little of or whatever, he said, I will lightly esteem. I looked up that word honor in that verse, and it says heavy, weighty. It means something to you. So guess what? I can put that scripture right here, right? The man with the treasure that he found in the field. I could put it right there, couldn't I? That treasure was precious to him. God has to be precious to us. His word has to be precious to us. His things, his kingdom has to be precious to us. And then the things that we do it motivated out of our love for God. You don't just supposed to go to church because it's the thing that Christians do. You're supposed to go to church because you love God and you love people and you want to honor him and keep his commands, right? So anytime you start getting or singing on this praise team or playing or keeping the nursery or kids, whatever, sound booth, whatever you're doing, whenever you start feeling like, oh gosh, I got to go play that keyboard again, or oh gosh, I got to keep them kids in that nursery. Oh God, I got to do something. Do you understand it's a privilege to work in the kingdom of God? So anytime I start feeling like that, I'm going to have to adjust my heart and my thinking, right? Because if not, I'm going to become dishonorable to God and his things. And then he's going to begin to lightly esteem me and my stuff. Ain't that what he says? If I lightly esteem him, he'll lightly esteem me. It means think little of. But if I'll honor him. So how many knows that all along the way, each one of us have to make adjustments in our thinking and in our heart. Just like I had this thing, you know, now that Zach has started playing or whatever on the drums, I would mess with Travis, you know, if Zach wasn't here, you know, I was supposed to play or whatever. And he would text me, you know, and say, I need you to play tonight, G, or something like that or whatever. And I'd say, nope, I'm retired. Can't do it. Nope, no thank you. Not going to do it. Well, he texts me Wednesday night wanting me to play, and I got my phone, and I'm fixing to text something sarcastic like that again, just, you know, being funny or going on or whatever. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit quickened me. He said, it's a privilege. Don't text that. How many knows we've asked for a lot for God to do here in us, through us, in the body, in our personal lives and all that. So guess what God's going to do? Tighten up. That was okay for a little while. But how many knows when the Holy Ghost quickened you and says, don't say that, don't do that, that's a privilege. Then I have to adjust my heart and my thinking, and I just text back, privilege. Now, I don't know what he thought about that, and I don't care. You know, that's kind of like the shirt that I told y'all that April had bought me. And very well bought me that, because it is what it is. It was what it was, right? Something about, I don't have a bad attitude or something other. I don't know what it is. I can't remember now what it was. Y'all remember me telling y'all the story. Well, I went in there to get that shirt going to wear because I like the shirt. It says my kind of stuff, you know. Well, I got the shirt and went to put it on, and the Holy Ghost quickened me, and he said, because see, now I was working on it at the time. And he said, you can't do what you're doing and wear that shirt. How many knows it's two contradictory things? You can't be working on character and attitude and all this stuff and wearing shirts and things that is saying bad attitude, things like that. Well, that's what he's talking about, the fear of the Lord. I can't put, I know I'm retired or I'm this or I can't do it. No, I got to keep in my heart and my mind, it's a privilege. That way God's stuff and his kingdom and him stays precious to me. Therefore, I continue out of my heart to honor him. Now, let's see here. Where I want to go now. John 15. See, if all of us will come in here with one heart, one mind, one accord, loving God, loving people, wanting God, wanting his presence, wanting him showing up and manifesting and revealing himself in this house the minute we walk in those doors. How many knows he will? Because that the greatest way that God can honor us is with himself. Because there's nothing greater that he can give, right? So here in John 15, how do I got that, Beth? Amplified. All right, this is Jesus saying this. He says, I am the true vine. Now, when I'm reading this, think about a fruit tree, okay? He says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch, now we are the branches, right? He's the vine, he's the root, we're the branches. He says, any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing. How many knows you can bear fruit on one limb, got fruit off of one limb this year, and how many knows this spring when it comes out, that limb could be dead? It's the same way in our own lives. He goes on and it says, he cuts away, trims off, takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit. So if you're not bearing fruit in an area, it's going to get cut off. But if you are bearing fruit in an area, I told Scotty this morning, I said, my tomatoes is going to be the size of your head. I'm talking about my spiritual fruit. I just use tomatoes as that. Why? If they can care, two men carry out clusters of grapes in the natural of the land that God gave them, you better believe, buddy, we can have some big, luscious fruit of the Spirit on the inside of us, right? So if you are bearing fruit, you're going to get pruned some more. Why? That way you cut off all the dead things. And how many knows, just like a regular fruit tree, one of the reasons why you'll prune it, even if nothing's dead, is because, how many knows, it can get too many. I've had them to where we didn't prune them one year or something, and it have so much fruit on it to where the limbs, they're breaking. It gets too heavy. So you're going to get pruned either way. So you might as well enjoy it. It's really good for us. Sandy's saying, yeah, it really is. It says, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. He goes on and says, you are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings I have discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself, abiding in, being vitally united, without being vitally united to the vine. It means you got a relationship with him, right? He says, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. That would be religion. Brother Brad calls it trying to be like Jesus without Jesus. You just can't do it. And listen, you can't do this kingdom. You can't even do the scriptures I'm reading right here except by faith. The entire kingdom is by and through and because of faith and his grace. He goes on and he says, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into the fire and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you. Now, this goes back to Mark 4. Y'all remember those, right, that we did 7-8 months of that? To where you get the word in your heart, and then the devil, on account of the word's sake, is going to try to come and take it away and all. So you got to do Mark 4 right here. Why? That word has to remain in you. That word about patience, that word about long-suffering, that word about love, right? That word about faith, it's got to get in you and stay in you, and the only way it can stay in you is if you do it. He goes on and he says, verse 7, if you live in me, abide vitally united to me, and my words remain in you, and continue to live in your hearts. That word is alive to you. You can tell when something is living in somebody. Just start talking about something, and one that it's not living in, and they're, yeah, I've been knowing that scripture, you know, a long time, you know. My mama used to tell me that scripture. And then the other one over here is a baby Christian. They don't know nothing about nothing. But when you begin to talk about it, their baby leaps, right? There's something on. Why? Their faith is living. That word is alive on the inside of them. It brings joy to them. It brings excitement when you talk about it. He goes on. And it says, continue to live in your hearts. Ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. Now, that is exactly what it says. And it will do exactly what it says it will do. But how many know sometimes, well, let me go on and finish with this. He says, when you bear, produce much fruit, my Father is honored. I had never saw that before. The Amplified Bible says they're honored. Now, what ain't that what we was talking about, the scriptures? If I honor God, he will honor me. The way I honor him is I bear much fruit, the Bible says. He says here, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. Now, try to think what I was going to say about that verse up there. Oh, yeah. He says in verse 7, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. See, a lot of people, they mental assent to that. They think they believe it, but their lifestyle proves that they don't. What do I mean by that? When faith is living on the inside of you, you release it. Just like this, you have no idea, nobody, and that's okay. I don't know what you go through either. But nobody but God knows what it takes for me to come to these services, almost every service. And that's okay. But I'm the just. And if I am the just, then I walk and I live and I go and I do whatever I got to do by faith in him. Trusting him, God, you're my rock and my fortress. You're my strength. You're my strong tower, right? The Bible says I go from strength to strength. Means one level of strength to another level of strength. The Bible says in Joel, he says, let the weak say that I am strong. Therefore, I don't say and I don't talk weakness out of my mouth. I thank you, Lord, that I may feel weak, but God, you're my strength. That's what I'm talking about. When that word is alive on the inside of you, you are constantly releasing it. Constantly releasing your faith toward God and in his promises and what he said. But if you're not, that word's not living in you. And I can tell you right now, every one of us, day after day after day, night after night, has opportunities to work out. Now we're going to come to Samantha and Beth. Y'all know all about the working out, huh? But see, the Bible talks about how just working out in the natural and eating right and all this stuff, it's good. Shouldn't be done away with. He says, but it's godliness, godly character and working out. And fruit, right? That much fruit, bearing much fruit that says God's glorified. That is the main thing. We should take care of our bodies and stuff. But the main thing is working out those fruits of the Spirit. Let's go over there and read that right quick. In case anybody might have forgot, let's put our eyes on them. Ain't that what the Bible says to do? Don't let them depart from our eyes, it says. And there's people that can quote these front and back, left and right, and never do a one of them. Galatians chapter 5, let's see how I got this. I got it, both of them. All right, I'm going to read it King James first, verse 22. Now, the verses up above this is going to tell you what all the fruits of the flesh is. Verse 22 is the fruit of the Spirit. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit, the first one is love. Because if you do the love, you'll do the rest of them. Excuse me, if you don't do the love, you can't do the rest of them. You understand, they're fruit of the Spirit, not of the natural. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, right? Meekness, temperance, and against such things there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. Now, I'm going to read it in the Amplified. It just breaks it down a little bit. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the work which His presence within accomplishes. If you've been born again, the Holy Spirit is on the inside of you to accomplish this work, to bring forth this fruit. He is our helper, right? Not our do for us, but He is our helper. He goes on and he says, it's love, joy, gladness, peace, patience, and even temper. You're not up one day and down the next, Scotty. Years ago, he said, I used to have to throw in my hat. He would tell people because I never know what kind of mood she's going to be in. He thought he was marrying one personality, and he married about nine. Y'all not saying nothing. I'm just telling it the way it is. Why? Because I was such a roller coaster. My emotions, my circumstances, y'all come on, ruled me. I'm a Christian. I love the Lord, but I ain't got time for no mess. So therefore, you better get it in gear because you're getting on my nerves and I'm about to let you know it. I know y'all don't know nobody like this. Would not dare. I'm just talking about me. Now, that's not me now. I'm talking about years ago. I'm going to tell y'all. I think Scotty done told Johnny or whatever. But anyway, I'm going to tell y'all because it goes along with my message. And how many knows you can hear people's testimonies, and when you hear them, you can lay hold of it if it was God and see Him do the same thing for you. That's exactly what happened to me that time in service years ago that I heard Sandy talk about how she had lost her keys and asked the Holy Spirit to help her, and He did. So I thought, well, if He'll help her, I guess He'll help me. And that's how it got started, off of her testimony. See, Thomas could have believed the rest of them, but he chose not to. How many know you got people today, they are in willful unbelief. Willful. And God cannot stand that stuff. It shuts Him down. It cuts Him off. He can't move like He wants to. He can't do the things that He wants to do, or even what we're asking to do, right? Whenever we're in unbelief. But anyway, I told y'all years ago He'd throw His hat in or whatever. Well, I've been trying to work on things. Whatever the Holy Spirit deals with you about, puts His finger on, talks, start doing it right then. You may think, I can't. I had never been able to. But the thing about it is, when He begins to deal with you, grace is there. And with His grace, you can do anything that He tells you to do. Amen? No matter what it is. But the thing about it is, a lot of people use a bag of excuses. When I don't want to do something, or I'm not in faith, I'm in unbelief, I can give you every excuse, and it seems like it's good and it's right for anything. But according to Scripture, all things are possible to those who believe. So it is only a bag of excuses, and excuses gets nothing. Right? The Bible even talks about, be careful what you hear, for the manner that you use, it'll be measured back to you. So if you ain't using it, you ain't gonna get no measure back to you. Right? Anyway, so yesterday, now my truck has been having a problem, I don't know, for a couple years or whatever, had that anti-theft thing going off that you try to crank it and it wouldn't crank. But then you let it sit there for so long and then it would crank or whatever. So Scotty ended up, Googled it, cut the wire. Been fine. And I don't know if this has anything to do with it or not, but it's more of that locking system stuff. Sometimes I'll be going down the road and and the kids will tell me, say, Grandma, can't you stop that? Because the doors are locking, unlocking, the light's coming on and going off and going on and going off. And it's telling me here the doors are open and the doors are locking and unlocking. I'm like, no, I can't. You know, and Scotty's motto is, and mine is too, just drive it. Because see, there's some people can't and won't do the will of God if their circumstances are not perfect all the time. And that is just not God. And you're going to miss out. He won't do a miracle if you don't need one. It's when you need a miracle to do and accomplish the will of God that He'll show up every time. If you keep putting that step forward and that step forward, that step of faith. So anyway, I just drive it. That's what I do. I just drive it. Don't let it bother me. Just drive it. So anyway, I'm trying to make a long story short. So anyway, I had to go get some, I had to go to Walmart, what was that, Friday morning? Yeah, Friday morning. And I'm on empty, so I pull over there at the Walmart gas pumps, you know, out there by the parking lot and get gas. Well, I get out of my truck to pump my gas, and I leave my keys in my switch. That truck does not lock with keys in the switch. Till Friday. I even done it on purpose before to see if it would. And they won't lock. It wouldn't lock with them in the switch. Well, I get out. I pump my gas, you know, and all that. And I grab the door. I'm going to get in. And lo and behold, my door is locked. My phone is in the truck. I don't know anybody's phone number except Scotty's by heart. They're all programmed in my phone. But I have my billfold. That's all I've got in my pocket. So anyway, I go back in the store, ask the lady. And then people, I asked the Lord to bless them. They were so kind and so good to me. There, you know, some of them could have said, no, you can't use my phone. What do you think this is? But no, they let me use the phone. So I called Scotty, and of course he does not answer three different times. He does not answer. And I'm standing there, and I'm thinking, oh, God, my phone's in the truck. Whose number? I'm just in Arab, but I'm stranded. I can't even think nobody else to call. The Holy Ghost is our reminder, right? Bring things back to our remembrance. I'm standing there, and I thought, what is Travis's phone number? What is Travis's phone? And all of a sudden, I could see Travis's phone number like it was wrote across the screen right here. I punched it in, and lo and behold, he answered. Guess where he is? Standing right beside of Scotty. And see, the number said at the end, so Scotty thought it was a telemarketer. Well, the same number shows up on Travis's phone, and he's like, hey, what was that number? And he tells him, he's like, well, I better answer it. And lo and behold, it's me. And I'm stranded. So I tell him, you know, to tell his daddy. But anyway, he gives me the phone, and I talk to Scotty. And Scotty says, all right, well, I'll call a locksmith or something, see what I can do. I said, all right. Well, the people, they tell me, and y'all know it was cold Friday. Bad cold. Good thing I have my coat. So anyway, they told me I could wait inside, but I'm not doing that. Because, I mean, you stand there, and all these people getting their stuff, you got to move. So anyway, I'm standing outside, and I got my coat like this, you know. And I'm just leaned up there, leaned up against my truck, and I'm praying in tongues, and I am scanning. Now, I'm believing God's going to get me out of this mess. I don't care if a locksmith comes, an angel comes. I don't care how. I don't know when, but I know he's going to do it. So if you know he's going to do it, you're looking, right? You're looking. You're watching. So I'm standing there, and I'm praying in tongues, you know, and all of that. And I just start laughing. And I thought, thank you, God, this is so good. What's so good about it? You're standing in the cold. My fingers is kind of numb. All these people are staring at me, you know, and I can't get in the truck and all of that stuff. But I'm standing there, and I'm telling you, the peace of God and the joy of the Lord is my strength. I just start laughing. I thought, God, this is so good. My mind says, what are you laughing about? Are you dumb or what? See, that's the difference in here and up here. A lot of people live up here, and they'll be ruled by circumstances, their emotions, how they feel, what other people did or didn't do to you or for you. Anyway, to go on with this, I'm standing there, you know, like that, and I don't know how long it takes him. I don't know, 40, 50 minutes, something other, for him to get up there. He swings in there. He jumps out of the truck. He's got two crowbars, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, what do you think you're going to do? He's got two crowbars and a coat hanger. So anyway, I go sit in his truck because I'm about froze up, feels like. Well, he's working on it, but the coat hanger is not strong enough to punch the button down to unlock it. So, you know, and I can see that and everything, and so I start praying again. I said, okay, God, you got to send somebody to help him. You know, somebody, we need something different than this right here. So I start looking. Why am I looking? Because I'm believing, God, you're going to send somebody. I need somebody. You're my ever-present help in time of need, right? The scripture says, so he will be to me whatever he said he would be if I'll believe him. So anyway, I'm standing there, Scotty, he's not getting it unlocked and all that. Oh, my goodness. Lo and behold, this woman in this black truck, she pulls in, goes right in front of Scotty's truck. Now, I'm sitting there getting warm, and he's over there working on that. She jumps out of the truck. She's probably about this tall. long black hair, cigarette about this long hanging out of her mouth, and she gets out of the truck, goes to the back of the truck, rumbling around, goes on the other side because she can't reach something, and pulls out this thing about this long, pink. And she goes over there, and I can hear her talking to Scotty. She says, "Hey, bud. Hey, bud." And she's got star tattoos right here, you know, across that. Anyway, she gives him that to use. Well, lo and behold, he crowbars it up at the top, and that is the perfect thing for it. He said, "I don't know if that'll work." She said, "It'll work. I'll tell you right now, it'll work." Anyway, he gets the door unlocked. And I go over there, and I thank the woman, you know. And I look back over there. You know what her truck said? I look at her back window, and I mean, this is a rough woman, you can tell. I thought I was rough, but no. Anyway, I look at her back window, and it says, "I run on caffeine, chaos, and cuss words." And then she's got an Auburn tag down at the bottom. I thought, and I just started laughing and laughing. See, God's not religious. And you better not care where your help comes from or who it comes through, or you'll be looking for the wrong one. Because see, all of those people out there, nobody tried to help. Nobody come and ask, could they help? Ask what I needed. Ask me why I've been standing there at the gas pump for 45. Nothing. That woman, she takes her little pink thing, whatever it is, puts it in the truck, gets in her truck, and I don't see her no more. I don't know if she saw him from the road. The Lord told her to come over there. I don't know, but all I know is she was the answer to my prayer, and my God heard and he answered. So then I got in my little yellow wagon and I come home. Still with the joy of the Lord and the peace of God. All of that is my point. See, we got to pass these tests. Everything that comes up in our life is an opportunity for us to work out. See, that Friday for me, that was the barbell of love, of patience, of joy. Because see, now years ago, it would not have been good. I'm telling you, it would not have been good. If all that would have happened to me years ago, and stuff like that has, and what I'm fixing to say now did happen, not that day, but before. Scotty would have pulled up there, I would have met him at his truck, smacked him around a few times. Possibly if he said anything, and told him, "What in the world's the matter with you? Look at you, you should have done fixed this. I would not be having this problem if it was not for you. Why don't you do what you're supposed to do?" You get where I'm going with this. I would not have passed the test. And guess what? If you don't pass the test, you get another opportunity, baby. Another one, and another one, and another one, and another one. We got to get smarter than the devil. See, the devil means for these things that comes into our lives for us to get in a frenzy. Don't bear no fruit. Look at yourself. Look at how it bothers you. That's all selfishness. But see, I'm not looking at me, how this is affecting me or Scotty or anything like that. I'm looking at God and how good he is and how big he is and how he's going to come through. I'm trusting him. And when you trust him, he always comes through and you do get rewarded. You know how I got rewarded? I saw my God move for me. I saw it. I lived it. There's nothing greater that I could have even asked for than to just watch God just boom, 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 boom. What is the odds Travis would have been standing right beside of his daddy? What are the odds that I would have remembered his phone number that I don't even know? I'm telling you. Can you see all the things that had to line up? And then sure enough, here comes Scotty, and God already knows the little coat hanger's not going to work, but he needs the crowbars. So what's he do? Has somebody come over there? And see, that was my opportunity to work out, to bear much fruit, to bear bigger, larger. Oh, you already got it. No, if you pray for love, guess what you're going to get? Let me just help you with something. The most unlovable people and circumstances you've ever had in your life. Why? Because see, this is what we want. Or this is how I am. Oh, God, I just want to love you, Lord. I just want to love you more and more, God. I want to love you. Help me, God. Love people like you love them. And God says, just what I wanted you to say. So here we go. I'm going to answer your prayer, Teresa. Am I telling the truth? What happens? You run into some of the most lovable people you have ever met. And God says, this is your opportunity. I'm going to help you. Holy Ghost brings the word up. Love's not touchy. Love's not fretful. Love forgives. Love takes no account of the wrong. They cussed me out. Love takes no account of the wrong. What are you doing? If you will do that, if you will walk in the love that you say you asked for, that you say you wanted, you're working it out. You're picking up love. You're putting it down. You're picking up love. You're putting it down. What happens in the natural when you do that? Your muscle gets bigger. It gets toned. It gets defined. Same thing in the spirit. It gets toned. It gets larger. It gets defined. And people can see it even better. And you shine brighter. Same thing with faith. People say, pray that I have more faith. Well, that's not what the Bible says how faith comes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Well, once faith comes, you're not at the end of it. You got to do something with it or it's dead. According to James, right? You got to release it. So when you're praying and asking God, God, increase my faith. Help me to have faith, Lord. Help me to have it. Guess what you're going to get? Opportunity to use it. I mean, what do we think about this stuff? I went for years. I did not know what I'm telling you right now. And I stayed the same after same after same after same because I would come apart and unglued any time my circumstances or my feelings felt like it. And then I would cry and I would feel so bad. God, I'm so sorry. And then I would go back. Help me, Lord, love these people. Help me, God, be long-suffering like you are. Good Lord, don't pray that one. Just use it when your opportunity comes. Why? Then you get you a long, drawn-out trial. Why? I thought you wanted long-suffering. But God, I don't want it like that. God, just open the top of my head and pour it in or something. Can't you do something besides me working out? Working out don't feel good. I get sore. I don't like it. It takes time. God says, I'm looking for fruit. I'm looking for fruit in the earth. See, that's just like we're praying, believing for our labors. We have them. They're on their way and all of that. And God's saying, y'all better get to working out. I'll tell you something that happened on the praise team Sunday night practice. Now, we have three drummers here now. Me, Zach, and Chris. I know y'all ain't heard him play, but anyway, they did it practice. So they just want to try him out, see how he works, you know. Some people say they can drum, and I'm sorry, they can't. You know, it's just the way it is. But anyway, so he gets up here, and he starts playing, and when he does, woo, does he start playing. He wears earplugs, if that tells you anything. He wears earplugs on himself. And I mean, boy, he's doing a good job, but my main boy, he's beating them. I mean, he's beating them. And he's beating them, and he's beating them. You should have saw some of the faces and things that happened up here. See, I don't know if you realize it or not, but all this we're believing, problems. Problems. Oh, we could buy a box to put him in, but what are we going to do when I play? Disassemble the box right quick and assemble it back when he plays? No, honey, God's not going to change the speed limit for you. Remember my story last week? Scotty said God will change the speed limit. No, he won't. If anything, it'll get lowered. So what's that mean? Fruit. Fruit out of this entire praise team. If you're on the praise team and you start griping and complaining, what'd God say? Real heavy for about the last week or two about that griping and complaining. If you're cold, don't tell me about it. Tell God. Because I've got 15 other people in here telling me how hot they are. It's going over real good. See, God's trying to get us to see if we really want what we're praying and say we are believing. Okay, God's going to do his part. But whether we get there or not is determined by our part. And in here, our part is a whole. This praise team's part is a whole of this praise team. So you can't be up here griping and complaining about how loud the drums are. Y'all not saying nothing. You can't be griping and complaining when all these people gets here and they're in the seat you usually sit in. Go sit in the floor. You wanted them. I'm serious. But see, God's on us right now. Bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit, bear fruit. Because see, when all this happens and they start coming, it's not going to be a bed of roses. But if we have worked out and we've took every opportunity in our lives to walk and live by faith and work out in these fruits of the Spirit and let them grow and develop and become more mature, we'll be more long-suffering when these people get here. We'll be more patient. We'll be more kind. We'll be more loving. And they'll want to stay. Because if we don't and they come, guess what? Ah! What are you even doing here? Well, you prayed for me. Well, I don't want you anymore. I changed my mind. Y'all ever think that about your kids before? Why are y'all laughing so loud, Darshan? You're the main one. What a blessing I am. It was a long time coming, wasn't it? But anyway, do y'all get what the Lord is saying here about all this? Because, see, I don't know what we think sometimes. We get deceived or something, you know, that God's just going to make us love more. No, the love is in there. Grow it. Develop it. The patience is in there. The patience of God Himself. And the Bible says God is the God of all patience. That patience is in there, but it ain't going to get no bigger, and you ain't going to see no more of it till you work it out. How do I work it out? In every opportunity that you have to be impatient. Sometimes I've got where I can feel it, top of my head. I want to come apart. And I said, but then when I don't yield to how I feel and I yield to the Lord and that fruit, whatever that is, joy comes. Why? The Bible says, I would that you have joy and peace and all believe. Anytime you're in faith, you're going to have joy and peace. They are accompanied fruit of the Spirit together. I've got to stop because our time is up. But there in Mark 11, chapter 12, verse 3, 14, I think I said it when we started. Why did Jesus curse the fig tree? Because it was an ugly fig tree? No fruit. So what do you think he expects, just like the scripture they read, when he comes back to the earth? Will he really find it? He tells me he's going to be looking for it. Right? Well, I am determined, God, you're going to find it in me, and you ain't got to have a magnifying glass. And help me, Holy Ghost, to do it, right? Does anybody have any comments or anything before we close?